All right, this is the Holy Spirit and His Gifts, session number 7, May the 20th, 2003. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will read our theme text, our theme scripture on studying the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." Now, I want you to look at your syllabus for just a moment on page 8, because there's something that I want to remind you of. I haven't talked about it, or didn't talk about it in the last session. I did in the first session. But I want to remind you of it because you will come across it on a test. Notice on page 8, you have letter number F. It says that the 9 gifts are categorized. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. There are 3 categories. 3 gifts go in each category. There are three of the gifts are revelation gifts, spiritual gifts that reveal something. That is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. There are 3 of the gifts that are power gifts, gifts that do something. That is the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Three of the gifts are utterance gifts, gifts that say something inspirational, which is prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. When we dismissed last week, we were looking at the discerning of spirits. We're going to pick that up and review that, add a little bit to it, and then we're going to do our best to get all of the power gifts in and talk about those tonight. We began talking about the discerning of spirits. I really do like the definition that's given in your syllabus on page 16. Let's look at that. Page 16, you have the definition of the discerning, the gift of the discerning of spirits. Letter number A, the discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world by seeing, hearing, or perceiving in the realm of spirits. I want to read that again. Discerning of spirits is supernatural insight into the spirit world by seeing, hearing, or perceiving in the realm of spirits. And I shared with you last week, not only can you see and hear in the realm of the Spirit, but you can also smell in the realm of the Spirit. We talked last week about the fact that there are times people have walked into the sanctuary and they could smell roses. And Jesus is the rose of Sharon. I know Brother Hagin has talked about, he said he can, like when he's going down a prayer line and stuff, if people are under the influence of a demonic spirit, he said there are times he can smell the presence. He can smell those spirits. He said there are certain spirits that give off certain smells and certain odors and so forth. So you can also smell in the realm of the Spirit. There's also things you can touch in the realm of the Spirit. We read last week in the book of Daniel that when Daniel was slain in the Spirit, that the angel went over and touched him and strengthened him and picked him up and so forth. So not only can you see and hear in the realm of the Spirit, but you can also touch in the realm of the Spirit. Now, I want to look at our textbook for just a second. Turn with me, please, to page 109. We read this last week, but I want to read it again. Page 109. The last paragraph in the first column. Let's just read that. Says the discerning of spirits gives supernatural insight into the spirit world. To discern means to perceive by seeing or hearing. Therefore, discerning of spirits is the same as seeing or hearing in the realm of spirits. Now, here's what I wanted you to see. The discerning of spirits actually has a more limited range of operation than the other two revelation gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. This is because its revelation is limited to a single class of objects, which is spirits. The revelation that the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge brings is broader and applies to people, places, and things. The discerning of spirits gives a supernatural insight only into the realm of spirits. Remember, the discerning of spirits is seeing or hearing into the spirit world. It also reveals the kind of spirit that is in operation behind a supernatural manifestation. But I do want you to see that it is more limited than the other two revelation gifts of the Spirit. Now, we were talking last week about the discerning of spirits, and I shared with you a couple of things that the discerning of spirits is not, that you need to be aware of. First of all, the discerning of spirits is not the gift of discernment. If you have somebody come up to you and say, "Well, sister, I've got the gift of discernment. Brother, I've got the gift of discernment on Brother Harry and what a mess he is." There is no such animal as the gift of discernment. It does not exist. There is no such thing as the gift of discernment. Secondly, it is not discernment based on spiritual maturity. There is a discernment that comes as you grow up in the things of God. There is a spiritual sensitivity to God. There is a spiritual sensitivity that is developed concerning things that are going on around you, what God is doing or what the enemy is doing or what other people are doing. You can grow in sensitivity in spiritual things. This is not the discerning of spirits. This is not discernment based upon maturity. Thirdly, the discerning of spirits is not just the discerning of evil spirits. You get around some people that all they see or hear or whatever is demons all the time. You're dealing with a person that is either operating under a wrong spirit or basically they are being governed by suspicion and criticism. A person that is moving in the discerning of spirits doesn't just see demons all the time. They also have the capacity to see God, to see angels, to see the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They see into the full spectrum of the realm of the Spirit, both good and evil spirits. And I don't know about you, but I've come across people that all they ever see is demons all the time. And it's very interesting to me that all they ever see is demons when there's actually 2/3 more angels than there are fallen spirits. I think that's very interesting. So you need to realize that discerning of spirits is not just discerning of evil spirits. You can see into the full spectrum of the spirit realm. Now, as we talked about last week, as you get over into the discerning of spirits, you obviously begin to deal with the area of visions. And I shared with you last week that there are 3 different kinds of visions in the Bible. Let's just go over those very quickly once again. First of all, there is what I refer to as a spiritual vision. A spiritual vision. A spiritual vision is a vision that you see it on the inside of you. Your eyes are closed and you begin to see on the inside of you things that are going on in the realm of the Spirit. I shared with you last week that when I'm under an anointing, the way, I don't know how it works with everybody, but the way that it works with me, one of the ways God taught me in dealing with these areas of spiritual visions is a lot of times when I'm under an anointing, there will be a thought or there will be a picture that is in the forefront of my mind. And it just sticks in my mind. And it's right in the middle. It's right in the center of my mind. And I shared with you last week, the best way I know how to describe it, it's like when if you're looking at somebody and a flashbulb goes off in your eyes and you look away, you can see around you, but you still see that flashbulb in your eyes. And a lot of times when God's trying to show me something and I'll get this picture in my eyes and it won't go away. And I've learned that if I shut my eyes and shut out my physical surroundings where sight is concerned, a lot of times that thought will begin to kick into gear and it begins to go off on the inside of me like a movie. That's the best way I know how to describe it. And a lot of times when I'm having a spiritual vision and I'm seeing this thought in my head and I'm looking at physical surroundings, it's almost like looking at film that's been double exposed. I have this picture in my mind and I have my physical surroundings and they kind of conglomerate with one another. A lot of times in ministering, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, I'll say something like, well, you know, Thad, I see you praying for somebody. Or Sharon, I see you laying hands on somebody. That's what I'm seeing on the inside of me. That thought, that picture won't go away. And a lot of times in being led by the Spirit of God in ministering to people, I'll have this picture in my mind of me ministering to somebody. I'll see me laying hands on somebody. I don't know what's going on. I just see that picture in front of me and I act on what I see. And I've discovered that as I do that, that will trigger the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I don't do anything but what I see the Father do it. So that is a spiritual vision. It goes off on the inside of you like a movie camera. The second area of vision is called the trance. The trance. And what happens in the trance, your eyes are open, but your physical surroundings completely disappear. You can't see anything other than what's going on around you in the realm of the Spirit. I shared with you last week that when I was 19 years old, I had that happen to me at Rhema during a praise and worship service. The Lord took me up to heaven. I mean, the crowd disappeared, the music disappeared, and everything in the physical disappeared, and God took me up into heaven for just a few brief, felt like just a few seconds, and then the sounds began to come back and so forth, and I was back where I was in the praise and worship service. That was a trance. The third area of visions is called an open vision. An open vision. Now, an open vision, your eyes are open and you can see your physical surroundings, but you also see into the realm of the Spirit. For instance, we've shared with y'all a little bit about in San Angelo when Jesus came to church. We could see all the physical surroundings. We could see the chairs and the people and everything in the building. But Jesus came into the room and we could see the angels of God. We could see what was going on spiritually around us and at the same time seeing into the physical as well. And that's called an open vision. Brother Hagin made this commentary, and I think we looked at it last week, but I've been meditating on it and I think it's very interesting. He said, you cannot see Jesus apart from the discerning of spirits. I think that's very interesting. He said that when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, until the day he ascended to the Father, you could see Jesus just like we see one another. We don't need the discerning of spirits to look at one another. And Jesus was that way until he ascended to the Father. After he ascended to the Father, in order to see him, even if Jesus walked in this room and everybody saw him, it would still be the discerning of spirits in operation, because Jesus' natural habitat now is in the world of the Spirit. Well, I just thought that was very interesting. You need to take that and meditate on it a little bit. You can't see Jesus apart from discerning of spirits, not now, because He is in the spirit world. He is in the spirit realm. We also talked about the fact that not all visions are discerning of spirits. There are times God will give a vision in order to illustrate something. It's a solid, valid vision from the Lord, but it's not necessarily the discerning of spirits unless you are seeing into the spirit realm. I have shared with y'all the fact that in San Angelo, we were involved in a remodeling project on an old drugstore on North Chadburn. And we were being challenged at every point. Not only were we being challenged financially, there was also an individual there in town that had the money and the political clout and so forth to keep us from getting our building remodeled. He had paid certain city officials to try and keep us out of that building and keep us from getting in there and holding services. And these people were taking the bribes and were doing everything they could to keep us out of the building through city codes and all that kind of thing. And it really was a very tough situation, and I was praying one night. I was reading the Word. I'm going to share with you later on what the Scripture the Lord gave me. But I was reading the Word, and as I was reading, I had a vision. And in the vision, I saw this river flowing, and I was standing there watching this river flow, and it was flowing from my left to my right. And all of a sudden, this giant wall just came down out of the sky and just dropped in the middle of the river and blocked the flow of the river. And for a brief moment, the river just stopped. And when the river stopped, my insides, I just felt so sad. I wanted that river to keep moving. And the Lord said, "Watch the river." So I was standing there watching that river, and all of a sudden the water began to flow again, and it began to rise. And over a period of time, it rose and eventually overflowed the wall, and it overflowed it. It was like it was, by the time the vision ended, the wall was way, way down at the bottom of the river. You couldn't even tell that there was a wall there. It was so just overcome by the water. And the Lord was teaching me that if I will keep pressing forward, and we as a congregation would keep pressing forward, that we would overcome the obstacles that we were facing. Well, that was a vision from the Lord, but it wasn't necessarily discerning of spirits. All it was an illustration showing me that we need to keep pressing forward and get done what we needed to get done. So, not all visions are discernings of spirits. There are some that are given by way and for illustration. Just a couple of examples of this in the Word. You remember in Acts chapter 10, we read this last week, Peter had a vision, and a sheet came down out of heaven that was filled with every kind of unclean beast and so forth, and a voice spoke and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And what that vision was trying to teach Peter was the fact that the Gentiles would be worthy to enter into the kingdom, enter into the church and so forth. The same thing also is true of dreams. You can have discernings of spirits through dreams. But you also need to realize that not all dreams, even dreams from the Lord, are discernings of spirits. For instance, in Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh got a dream from the Lord. You remember? There were 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows. And there were 7 good ears of corn and 7 bad ears of corn. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and the bad ears of corn ate the good ears of corn. And when Joseph gave the interpretation of that dream to Pharaoh, God was making known to Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty in Egypt, then there would be 7 years of famine, and God gave Joseph a word of wisdom about how to handle that situation and the famine and so forth. Now, so while that dream was from the Lord, it was not necessarily discernings of spirits. It was given to illustrate a principle and a point that God wanted to get over to Pharaoh. I also shared with you last week the fact that there is a difference between the discernings of spirits and the gift of the word of knowledge. Now, you'll remember the discernings of spirits deals with supernatural insight into the spirit realm. The gift of the word of knowledge is supernatural revelation of facts, past or present. Supernatural revelation of facts, past or present. Now, you read a definition of discernment out of your syllabus. Let me give you another one. Another definition of the word discern is to recognize and to distinguish between. To recognize and to distinguish between. Now, the difference between the discernings of spirits and the word of knowledge, the discernings of spirits deals with direct perception. The gift of the word of knowledge, on the other hand, deals with the impartation of a fact. I shared with y'all last week the fact that we had a lady in our church several years ago who was a seer. And she operated in the discernings of spirits a great deal. And when God would use her in the discernings of spirits, she would see into the spirit realm. For instance, if she was in a prayer line, she might walk up to somebody and say, Brother, I see there's a demonic spirit of condemnation sitting on your shoulder, telling you that you're unworthy, telling you you're no good, telling you you're this, that, and the other. She would see into the realm of the Spirit and see that Spirit. Now, if somebody else were operating in the Word of knowledge, say for instance, if I was, or Cindy was, or Sharon, or anybody was operating in the gift of the Word of knowledge, and they walked up and the Lord spoke to them and said, this person is under the influence of a spirit of condemnation. You didn't see anything, but yet you knew it. One deals with a form of direct perception. The other one deals with the impartation of a fact. Both, the end result basically is the same, but the method of revelation is a little bit different. Now, let me share this with you, because Pastor Greg, when he was here last week, asked me about this during the break when I brought this up. All seers are prophets. Or let me come at it from this angle. Let me do it this way. In order to qualify for the office of the prophet, you must move in at least two of the three revelation gifts on a consistent basis. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernings of spirits. You must move in at least two of those three revelation gifts. Now, if you have a person that is a seer, then obviously God is going to be using them in the discernings of spirits a great deal, right? Isn't that true? Y'all are busy writing, right? God is going to be using them in discerning of spirits a great deal. Well, if they are a seer and they move in at least one of the other revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, on a consistent basis, which if they're operating in discerning of spirits, they are probably operating in at least one of the other two on a pretty consistent basis. If they're a seer, then they're probably a prophet. Okay? The point that I'm making is that all seers are prophets. But not all prophets are seers. I'll say that again. All seers are prophets. But not all prophets are seers. I'm a prophet. I stand in that office. God called me to that in 1979. I received the impartation for that ministry in November of 1980. I am a prophet, but I'm not a seer. Now, there are times God has shown me things in the Spirit. But most of the time, the two revelation gifts that I operate in predominantly are word of wisdom and word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, as we said, deals with the supernatural revelation of the purpose and plan of God. It goes from the present into the future. The word of knowledge deals with revelations, supernatural revelation of facts, past or present. It goes from the present to the past. In both the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, you may not necessarily see anything, but you know things. There's a lot of times that I know things. There are a lot of times that I know things ministering to people or laying hands on people. There's a lot of times in the Word I get glimpses and I see over into things, not necessarily by physical sight. Actually, a better word, I perceive and I begin to know things. Now, that would qualify me for the prophetic office, but I don't necessarily regard myself as a seer. So you can be a prophet without being a seer. But you can't be a seer without being a prophet. Did I say that right? Okay. But I wanted to make that clear that, you know, people have the idea if somebody says, well, you know, I stand in the office of the prophet. Well, that means that you just have these visions and you're just seeing things all the time. That's not necessarily so. It does mean, however, that you're moving in revelation on a very consistent basis. And that can come either by direct perception of discernings of spirits or by the impartation and the knowing that comes from word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So, you need to be aware of that. We talked about the fact, once again, that you can see into the realm of the Spirit. There is the possibility that you will see or discern or hear or perceive evil spirits. We looked at this at the close last week. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. I want to show you something very interesting that the Lord showed to Kenneth Hagin years ago when the Lord appeared to him in a vision. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. This is the very familiar story of the madman of Gadara. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Now, when the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin, he made reference to the fact that when that man cried out, or that spirit cried out with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" The Lord showed Brother Hagin, said when that spirit said that, he was using the man's voice. Now let's read on. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Again, that one spirit was using the man's voice. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And once again, the Lord showed Brother Hagin, or the Lord told Brother Hagin, that spirit was still speaking out of the man, begging, Don't send us away. Let me just say this to you. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not, but you'll find it very interesting that when a person is operating under the influence of a demon spirit, many times you'll hear a lot of that uniplural conversation, that use of I and then we and then I and then we and so forth. Now verse 11 says, Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Now what the Lord spoke to Brother Hagin and said to him was, said, when all those spirits cried out, when that whole legion of demonic spirits cried out, he said, nobody heard that physically. He said, I heard it in the realm of the spirit. Well, that was a form of the discernings of spirits, wasn't it? All the spirits cried out. Jesus was hearing that in the realm of the spirit. None of the disciples heard it. Nobody that was around heard it. Verse 12, All the disciples besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. So Jesus was operating in discerning of spirits here. He didn't see into the realm of the spirit, but he did hear. Now, you can look at that on the positive side. You remember the story of Samuel when he was just a young boy. He kept hearing the voice of the Lord say to him, Samuel, Samuel. And three times he went to Eli the priest, and Eli said, It's not me. And finally Eli told Samuel, he said, If you hear that voice again, say, What is it, Lord? And he did that, and it turned out to be the voice of the Lord. Very similar to what happened with Mike McGinn's little girl, when Mike ministered here, sharing about, she kept hearing somebody calling her, and she ran into Mike two or three different times and said, What do you want, Poppy? I didn't call you. What do you want, Poppy? I didn't call you. And turned out to be the voice of the Lord. So not only can you see into the realm of the Spirit, but you can also hear. And again, let me remind you that you not only can see and hear evil spirits, you can see and hear angels, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You can also see human spirits when the discerning of spirits is in operation. Just as an example from the Scriptures, you remember when Peter, James, and John went with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw Moses and Elijah. Well, Elijah is still in his physical body, but Moses isn't. How do we know that? Because the Bible says there was a dispute for the body of Moses between Michael and Satan. So when the disciples saw Moses, they were not seeing Moses in his body, they were seeing the spirit of Moses. It was discernings of spirits in operation. And it would have also been discernings of spirits where Elijah was concerned, even though he was in his physical body, but it would have been discernings of spirits because he's already gone into the realm of the spirit. Just like Jesus. Jesus is in his flesh and bone body right now, but it requires discerning of spirits to see him. Now then, as you already well know, not only can God show you things, but so can the devil. And that's why it's vitally, 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 vitally important that whenever you have a dream, a vision, a revelation, or God shows you something, or you receive something on a supernatural level, that you judge everything, first of all, by the Word of God. Vitally important. There's one man that's been connected with our ministry for a number of years. He and his family particularly when we first met this family, were very, very susceptible to having dreams and visions and all kinds of stuff. And it took literally years to get this family to the place to where when they had a dream or a vision or whatever, or a night vision or whatever, that they would take it and compare it to the Word. And it was only after we were able to get them to the place where they would compare what they were seeing with the Word that they began to realize they were dealing with demonic forces. So it's vitally important that you compare everything, first of all, to the written Word. Secondly, it is important that you be led and you be governed by the inward witness of the Spirit of God. That is so vitally important. Let me just say to you that that is the priority. I don't care if you have a vision every other week. I don't care if somebody comes and tells you that an angel landed on their car and talked to them about you. You must be led and governed by the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. What am I talking about, the inward witness? Stay in peace at any cost. Stay in peace no matter what. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and just read this scripture as kind of an enforcement. Colossians chapter 3. Are y'all cold? Okay. Colossians chapter 3. I don't know what happened to the Amplified I had up here. Okay. Thank y'all. I will return it in a moment. Hey, she already had to turn to the right page. All right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. This deals with the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Listen to it out of the Amplified, verse 15. Let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Act as umpire continually. What does an umpire do? He judges. Right. He judges. Let the peace of God act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. The key issue, I'm tied to the deal here. The key issue is stay in peace. That is the most important thing. And that way, if you do see something supernatural, if you see or hear into the realm of the Spirit, you will be able to judge. That peace will be your umpire, will be your guide in every situation. Now, how much time have we got? Okay, let's start on the power gifts of the Spirit. The power gifts of the Spirit. Now, in the power gifts of the Spirit, you have three gifts. You have the gift of faith. You have the gifts of healings. You have the working of miracles. You need to realize that there are three areas of faith in the Scriptures. First of all, there is what Brother Hagin calls common faith, or I like the term saving faith. Saving faith comes from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You're all familiar with this scripture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Saving faith is a gift from God, and it is to be directed back to God. Look at before we do that, let's you know this scripture. What does Romans 10:17 say? Nobody knows? Do we need to do principles of faith again? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is a gift of God that comes from the word. Not only does it come from God, but it is also directed back to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 Let's begin with verse 1. It says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection," or to maturity, "not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Saving faith is directional. Saving faith is a gift that comes from God through His Word, and then it's directed back to God. Does anybody here have any idea how we direct our faith back to God? Any clue? Huh? By what? By the words of our mouth. How do we release it? For instance, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it comes from the Word of God, and it's released back to God by the words of our mouth. Let me just give you some scripture references. All of these you're familiar with. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Actually, 22 through 24. "Have faith in God. For I say, and for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says that we should hold fast to the profession, the literal Greek text says, the confession of our faith without wavering. So faith comes from God by the Word, and faith is directed back to God by the Word. That's saving faith. Now, how much time have I got? 3 minutes? There is another aspect of faith that you need to be aware of called the fruit of faith. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit..." And as we've talked about so many times, this is talking about the fruit of the human spirit. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." A better translation of the word translated faith here in the Greek would be faithfulness. I think New American Standard, maybe a couple of other translations, have faithfulness rather than faith. That actually is a more accurate translation. The fruit of faith has to do with character. It also comes from the Word. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It's developed by the Word. It's matured by the Word. But I also want to say to you, and this, there may be some theologians that would disagree with me in this, but I also want to say to you that this fruit of faith is also developed in the midst of tests and trials. Let's go over to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Let's just begin with verse 2. Got 1 minute? It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying," the Greek text says, "the proving of your faith worketh patience." When we're in the midst of tests and trials, the fruit of faith is matured, developed, and demonstrated. We'll pick it up here in the next session and then go on into the gift of faith.